Last time we began a journey through the Ten Commandments. This will take us into the first Sunday of July. So we'll hear the first and second commandments again, briefly, and then a story from the 32nd chapter of Exodus, which is the story of the golden calf. It's a long story. I hope you'll listen carefully as it is read. And then from the New Testament, we'll hear the New Testament warnings about idolatry and idol worship. And so, beginning with the commandment. God said to the people of Israel, I am the Lord your God, the one who brought you out of Egypt, where you were slaves. Do not worship any god except me. Commandment 1. Commandment 2. Do not make idols that look like anything in the sky or on earth or in the ocean under the earth. Do not bow down and worship idols. I am the Lord your God, and I demand all your love. If you reject me, I will punish your families for 3 or 4 generations. But if you love me and obey my laws, I will be kind to your families for thousands of generations. And then the story of the calf. After the people saw that Moses had been on the mountain for a long time, they went to Aaron and said, make us an image of a God who will lead and protect us. Moses brought us out of Egypt, but nobody knows what has happened to him. Aaron told them, bring me the gold earrings that your wives and sons and daughters are wearing. Everybody took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. Then he melted them and made an idol in the shape of a young bull. All the people said to one another, this is the God who brought us out of Egypt. When Aaron saw what was happening, he built an altar in front of the idol and said, tomorrow we will celebrate in honor of the Lord. The people got up early the next morning and killed some animals to be used for sacrifices and others to be eaten. Then everyone ate and drank so much that they began to carry on like wild people. The Lord said to Moses, hurry back down. Those people you led out of Egypt are acting like fools. They have already stopped obeying me and have made themselves an idol in the shape of a young bull. They have bowed down to it, offered sacrifices, and said that it is the God who brought them out of Egypt. Moses, I have seen how stubborn these people are, and I'm angry enough to destroy them, so don't try to stop me. But I will make your descendants into a great nation. Moses tried to get the Lord to change his mind. Our Lord, you used your mighty power to bring these people out of Egypt. Now don't become angry and destroy them. If you do, the Egyptians will say that you brought your people out here into the mountains just to get rid of them. Please, don't be angry with your people. Don't destroy them. Remember the solemn promise you made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You promised that someday they would have as many descendants as there are stars in the sky, and that you would give them land. So even though the Lord had threatened to destroy the people, he changed his mind and let them live.
The New Testament reading is from 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 7. Friends, I want to remind you that all our ancestors walked under the cloud and went through the sea. This was like being baptized and becoming followers of Moses. All of them also ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, which flowed from the spiritual rock that followed them. That rock was Christ. But most of them did not please God, so they died and their bodies were scattered all over the desert. What happened to them is a warning to keep us from wanting to do the same evil things. They worshiped idols, just as the scriptures say. The people sat down to eat and drink, then they got up to dance around. So don't worship idols. This is a reading of God's word.
Amen. Let us pray. Oh God, your word brings life, and from it we are made new again. May your word find its place in the midst of our hearts. Make us your faithful people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Clinton McCann was a Presbyterian, Old Testament scholar, wrote many books, articles. And one of the articles he published was on the 32nd chapter of Exodus, which I read a large, long portion for us today. McCann says of this story, the story of the golden calf, the story of the worship of this idol. He says, you can't understand the book of Exodus at all unless you know this story. And then he said, actually, you can't understand the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, unless you know this story. And then he added, you can't even understand the Old Testament without this story. And if that isn't enough, he went on to say, and how could you understand the New Testament without knowing this story? I think that includes all of the Bible. This is one of the key stories of Scripture. It's a keystone. You're Pennsylvanians, you know what a keystone is, right? Where the keystone state. When an arch is built, the very last stone to be put at the top of the arch is called the keystone. And that keystone enables all of the stones to come together and to lock together and to support the structure. There is no building without the keystone holding everything together. And this story of Moses and Aaron, the mountain, the tablets, all of that is keystone stuff. That we understand Scripture, we understand God's work in the world from the vantage point of this story. They are free. The slaves, the Hebrew children, have been set free under the leadership of Moses, and now they're in the wilderness. God has great plans for these people. The prophets will tell us later on that they are to be God's chosen people, not chosen for themselves. They are God's chosen people because they are to be, in the words of the prophet, a light to the nations. That's the whole purpose of God creating this nation. They are chosen not because they are people of privilege. They are chosen because they will be a light. They will be leader. They will show the world how to live, a light to the nations. But they are not that yet. They're in the wilderness. They've been in slavery. They don't know what it means to be a nation. They've been in slavery, if the book of Exodus is correct, 430 years. They have no idea how to be a people, a nation, how to be a light. And so this journey time through the wilderness, these long years, preparation time, in which they will come to understand, come to see, come to know what it means to be God's people. And so now here they are encamped at the holy mountain, and Moses goes up away from them, and they are left without their leader. And one day passes, a second day passes, a third day passes. And they begin to be anxious. Where is Moses? Where is he? What's happening here to us? They don't like waiting on God. Who does? Do you like waiting on God? No, of course we don't like to wait on God. We like to be in control when God seems to be absent. We want to grab onto the wheel. If God's not going to be here, we'll take care of ourselves. We'll grab the wheel. We will be in control. That is human nature. And that's exactly where they were. And being good Presbyterians, they decide to have a committee meeting. The committee got together and they voted unanimously that they would send a delegation to Aaron, and this would be the instructions to Aaron. Make us an image that will lead and protect us. What? What? Have they forgotten already? Have they forgotten how God brought the plagues onto the Egyptians? Have they forgotten how God brought them through on dry land when the waters were parted and Pharaoh's chariots, Pharaoh's army was in pursuit? Have they forgotten how Moses struck the rock and water came out when they were thirsty? Have they forgotten that every day, manna from heaven fell to feed them and to nourish them? Have they forgotten this so soon? Give us a God, an image that will protect and lead us. They had forgotten that every day of their lives was a miracle of grace and goodness, which is what your life is. Is there not grace and goodness and miracle? Can you not see? Have you not noticed? Do your eyes not see it? Do your ears not hear it? Do you not experience it? That every day of our lives, every breathing moment, is a miracle of God's love and grace. It's around us and in us, working for us. Every day of our lives, have we forgotten? They have forgotten. And so Aaron takes on the task of making an idol that they can trust. He says to them, go out among the people. They had brought gold out of Egypt. Take the earrings. Gather all of the earrings from the wives and the children and bring them to me. And they did, and they brought all of this gold into Aaron. And Aaron fashions a golden calf. And the people are ecstatic. And they say, this is the God who brought us out of Egypt. I remember the movie, The Ten Commandments. It came out in 1957. I was 13 years old. It made more money than... It costs more money than any movie that was ever made, and it has always been in the top 10 movies of all time, adjusted for inflation, a revenue-producing movie. They went to Egypt and to Sinai. They filmed this thing. Charlton Heston played the Moses, and they filmed it on location. And as a 13-year-old, the part of the story I remember was when, after they received the calf, they sacrificed the animals, they had a meal, and they went wild. As a 13-year-old, I thought that was a pretty good part of the movie. I just loved seeing how the people were going wild and acting wild and crazy and all of what that means. God and Moses are in conversation on the mountain, and God stops the conversation after Moses already has the tablets. But God says to Moses, hurry down. The people are making fools of themselves. And then God decides, I'm just going to wipe them all out. I'm going to get rid of all of them. They are such a stiff-necked people. They don't know how to live. They don't follow me. They forget who they are. They forget who I am. They make idols out of gold. I'm just going to stop being their God altogether. I'm going to wipe them out. And then he says to Moses, but you know what? I'm going to take you and make you the new beginning. Your descendants will be my people. It was Moses who was being tested. God didn't have any intention to wipe these people out. He was testing Moses. He was finding out if Moses wanted to be the idol, the big shot, the new Abraham. And Moses is having nothing to do with it. Moses is saying back to God, no, I will not be the idol. No, the glory will be yours. The greatness is yours, not mine. It's yours. And you can't destroy these people. You can't let them perish. And so God is reminded how good he is and how many promises he has made. And God repents, which is not repentance at all, because it wasn't about God repenting. It was about Moses' understanding of what his function was. Never to take the glory for himself, but always to give the glory back to God. That God is the one who is great and powerful and wonderful. And no idol and no person and no movement and no ism and no arrangement of anything in the world that we can put together will ever equal that. God is all loving and powerful and good. And so Moses takes the tablets. He goes down the mountain and he hears something. He's not sure what it is. He hears noises. He's not sure what's going on. And then he sees the people acting in a fashion of being wild. And he sees the golden calf. And out of his righteous anger, he takes the tablets and he breaks them. He throws them down. God will have to give the law again, and God will. That's the beauty of this story of God's persistence and God's commitment and God starting over with us and God starting over with the story that God will not give up this plan, this purpose, that the world will be blessed and that there will be a people of blessing. God will keep working with us, keep working with us, keep working with us until we understand that we are in the world to be a blessing, to bring life and light and forgiveness and love and caring and joy and service. Our whole purpose in life is to be this light, this blessing. And God is never going to give up on any of us till we become the blessing. After Moses breaks the tablets, he goes to his brother, Aaron. He wants an accounting. What have you done? So in the middle of this very serious moment of Scripture, there's a bit of comic relief. Because when Aaron is asked, what have you done? This is what he says. He says, well, I don't know. I took this gold and I threw it into a fire, and out popped a calf. It reminds me of the story of the teenage boy who wrecked the family car. And the father says to the teenager, what have you done? And the kid says, I was just driving down the road and a telephone pole ran right into me. I can imagine when this story was told around the campfires, because it was told for generations before it was written down. That's how the Bible came through time and history. People around the campfire would tell these sacred stories. And I can imagine that when this story was told, that the children who heard what Aaron said, oh, it just popped out, that they would screech in laughter and joy. We have been called to be a special people. We have been called to worship God alone, and we are called to resist anything that would take God's place. And of course, what wants to take God's place are the things that we need. That's the temptation of idolatry, is that whatever we think we need becomes too important, becomes a god, and becomes an idol. And so this story is there for us, this story which is a keystone story. The second commandment actually protects the first commandment. They are together. There is one God who calls us to love him with all of our heart and mind and strength, and we are never to let anything, any person, any ism, any movement, any good ever be in place. God first. And then we live out of that, whatever comes. whatever happens, that will be our life. God first, and whatever happens, happens. We live out of that initial gift that we give when we honor God as first place in our lives. There is an image of God in the world. New Testament book of Colossians says that Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. And so that is the image that calls to the image in us. Where the first book of the Bible says, you are created in the image of God. It means that every life is sacred. Every life has a piece of God in it. Every life is to be loved and served and honored. We are all images of God's goodness and of God's grace. And so the hymn, maybe you know it, goes like this. Jesus calls us from the worship of the vain world's golden store. Isn't that beautiful? The vain world's golden store. So much stuff, so many things would come to us as idols, promising us what idols can never give, promising us life. There is no life anywhere else. Life is God's gift. Only God can give us life and wholeness. And then the hymn finishes by saying, from each idol that would keep us, saying, Christian, love me more. And because everyone is in the image, made in the image of God, we could change that and just add, and love one another more, too. Amen. Let us pray. Oh God, you are life and goodness, and there is no other name. There is no other competitor. We give ourselves to love you with all of our heart, mind, strength, as you lead us and guide us into life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.